Soviet autopsy, Hitler died but his double escaped. First published in 1968, The Death of Adolf Hitler, Unknown Documents from Soviet Archives, by journalist Lev Bezymensky was the means by which the Soviet Union chose to inform the world of the findings of the Russian medical team that performed the autopsy on Hitler's corpse in 1945. The Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev decreed an invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968 to crack down on resistance to Soviet occupation and dissension from communism. Why were the findings of Hitler's autopsy kept secret for so many years? Notable among the Soviet autopsy findings was the claim that Adolf Hitler was missing a testicle. Lev Bezymensky had been described variously as a Soviet journalist, an historian, and an intelligence officer, a member of Red Army Marshal Georgi Zhukov's staff. What really happened, said Bezymensky, was this: on May 2, 1945, Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Klimenko, a Soviet counterintelligence officer, led a group of men to the Chancellery in Berlin after hearing reports of burned corpses, said to be those of Hitler and the mistress he married the day before his death, placed in wooden boxes where they were found by Soviet intelligence officers half buried in a shell crater near the Berlin bunker. A private, Ivan Kurakov, climbed into a crater strewn with burned paper and saw legs sticking out. The Russians dug into the crater and found the bodies of a man and woman and two dogs. Detailed study of their teeth, both bodies had a number of false teeth, and interviews with their dentists proved that the bodies were those of Hitler and Eva Braun. The principal forensic pathologist of the Soviet Forensic Commission was Dr. Faust Shkirovsky, who performed the autopsy on the two newly recovered bodies. The autopsy reports noted that part of Hitler's cranium was missing, and that Eva Braun had suffered splinter wounds. But the Soviets attributed her injuries to fragments from Russian shells exploding in the Chancellery gardens as the bodies were burning. The body of propaganda minister Goebbels was also found in the gardens. One of Hitler's bodyguards later pointed out the crater as Hitler's burial place. After the findings of the autopsies were reported to Moscow, Bezymensky wrote, "The corpses were completely burned and their ashes strewn to the wind." Associated Press, August 13, 1968. But there were reservations and cloudy remarks on why none of the material had been previously released. Bezymensky's 1968 storyline was obviously published only after careful study in Moscow of testimony and grim photos. Quite puzzling was the claim that Adolf Hitler was missing a testicle. Various physicians that examined Hitler had never reported on the condition of monarchism, see pages 395-6. Observers also cast doubt on why a piece of Hitler's cranium was reported missing. It was the segment supposedly providing evidence that there was no bullet hole in Hitler's skull, i.e., his death was by cyanic compounds. It was rumored Stalin used the piece as an ashtray. In 1968, Bezymensky said that Hitler's corpse was cremated and the ashes scattered in 1945. But in a 1992 report in the Sunday Express, Bezymensky alleged, the corpse had been buried and unburied on several occasions before finally being burned in 1978. In March and July 2017, Russia's Secret Service, the FSB, and the Russian State Archives authorized a team of researchers to reassess the bones of the dictator, except for the skull hole fragment. French researcher Philippe Charlier told AFP the teeth are authentic. Still, the most confusing fact was that Soviet leader Joseph Stalin often claimed the Führer had escaped the Berlin bunker with the help of British military intelligence. If Stalin knew that Hitler's burned body had been found, why did he continue spreading reports of the Führer's escape? Lev Bezymensky claimed that the autopsy results were kept in reserve in case someone might try to slip into the role of the Führer saved by a miracle. Otherwise stated, Stalin knew that the real Adolf Hitler was dead. But he also presumed that Hitler's double had escaped with the backing of Western security forces. Conceivably, Stalin kept special facts in reserve because he believed Hitler's doppelganger was a treacherous British agent. In 2010, alleged remote viewer Sean David Morton infuriated the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission by having more than 100 investors suppose that he could predict the market. He also mulled over Hitler's rescue. According to a 1997 report by Morton, a female Nazi intelligence officer named Magda Zeitfeld offered her services to the United States government. She worked in Berchtesgaden, and was apparently one of Germany's top intelligence agents. She had been sending the Allies information since the spring of 1944, acting as a double agent, because the SS she worked for had murdered her father and brother, under very mysterious circumstances. Her father had the biggest plastic surgery clinic in Berlin. He was a pioneer in the field, and well financed by the Nazis, due to their obsession with physical perfection, and was doing a landmark business. He pioneered and specialized in implanted facial prosthetics, using highly advanced silicates to build up weak jaws and noses to fit the German fashion of chiseled strength. Three men, exceptionally high-level Nazi officials, were brought to her father's clinic under a veil of extreme security and secrecy in the fall of 1943. Her father and brother were required to drastically alter the appearance of each of the men. 2 weeks after the men left her family's clinic, and sufficient time had passed to be sure there was no need to go back for follow-up treatment, the hospital was raided and the entire staff, including both Magda's father and brother, were brutally murdered, and the clinic was burned to the ground, files and all. Magda knew that it was the Nazis who had done this, in fact it was a division within the SS for whom she worked. Sean David Morton, 1997. According to Morton, two of the men were Martin Bormann and Adolf Hitler. Just as Himmler aimed to do, the Führer would fly from Berlin as a member of the clergy. That Hitler did undergo some sort of nasal surgery, rhinoplasty, was stated in a 1942 Time magazine article about the German leader. His plastic surgery was referred to by United Press Central European manager Frederick C. Ochsner, and in the Office of Strategic Services Hitler source book. Aleister Crowley reportedly underwent nasal surgery several times, changing the structure of his nose as photos show. In his 2014 book Hunting Hitler, Jerome R. Corsi said Hitler made his way to Argentina with the help of U.S. intelligence agents that had been secretly working with the Nazis since 1943. Alan Dulles, then an agent of the Office of Strategic Services, or OSS, the predecessor agency to the CIA, was communicating secretly with top Nazis from his office in Bern, Switzerland, Corsi said. Corsi presented documentary evidence that Alan Dulles' wartime mission in Switzerland included helping Martin Bormann, Hitler's secretary, to funnel billions of dollars of Nazi ill-gotten financial gain out of Germany and invest in the US and Argentinian stock markets to provide a financial cushion to survive in hiding after the war. Hidden away in the National Archives, Corsi found a U.S. Naval Intelligence report written July 18, 1945, by the naval attaché in Buenos Aires who notified Washington there was reason to believe U-530 had landed Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun in the south of Argentina before the submarine journeyed on to surrender at Mar del Plata. Shocking evidence. Hitler escaped Germany, WND, January 5, 2014. Recently released FBI documents are beginning to show that not only was Hitler and Eva Braun's suicide faked, the infamous pair might have had help from the director of the OSS himself, Alan Dulles. In a Los Angeles letter to the Bureau in August of 1945, an unidentified informant agreed to exchange information for political asylum. The Argentinian government not only welcomed the former German dictator, but also aided in his hiding. The informant went on to not only give detailed directions to the villages that Hitler and his party had passed through, but also credible physical details concerning Hitler. Further proof comes in the form of architect Alejandro Bustillo, who wrote about his design and construction of Hitler's new home, which was financed by earlier wealthy German immigrants. With all of the newfound evidence coming to light, it is possible and even likely that not only did Hitler escape from Germany, he had the help of the international intelligence community. Released FBI documents prove that they were not only aware of Hitler's presence in Argentina, they were also helping to cover it up. Lisa Patrick, Historians Lied, Hitler Did Not Die in Germany, Top Information Post, February 12, 2014. In the aftermath of Germany's surrender in 1945, Western Allied forces suspected that Hitler had committed suicide but did not immediately find evidence of his death. At the time, it was feared that Hitler may have escaped in the closing days of the war, and searches were made to determine if he was still alive. FBI files indicate that the Bureau investigated some of the rumors of Hitler's survival. FBI records, The Vault. According to another 2014 book, the evil dictator fled to Paraguay, via Argentina, before settling in a small town in the state of Mato Grosso, Brazil. Simone René Guerreiro Dias, who wrote Hitler in Brazil, His Life and His Death, claimed that contacts within the Vatican guided the Führer. The Nazi hunting author held a grainy photo that proved Hitler did not die in his bunker and escaped to Brazil, where he lived to the ripe old age of 95. The man at the center of the controversial claim was pictured, 2 years before his death in 1984, posing with his black girlfriend. Hitler is said to have used the assumed name of Adolf Leipzig and was known to the 12,000 locals in Nossa Senhora do Livramento as the Old German. Conspiracy theorists have long argued Hitler escaped from Germany and fled to South America, following Adolf Eichmann and Joseph Mengele. This theory became the center of a 2013 row when a journalist in Argentina accused two British authors of plagiarism. Gerard Williams and Simon Dunstan claimed in a 2011 book Grey Wolf, The Escape of Adolf Hitler, that the Führer fled with his mistress Eva Braun to Patagonia and had two daughters before dying in 1962 aged 73. The book was later made into a film. The Argentine journalist Abel Busti accused the British pair of using his research to verify points made in the book, a charge Williams and Dunstan denied. The claims about Hitler's life in Argentina were ridiculed by historian Guy Walters, who described them as 2,000% rubbish when the book came out. He added, "It's an absolute disgrace. There's no substance to it at all. It appeals to the deluded fantasies of conspiracy theorists and has no place whatsoever in historical research." Academics in Brazil have also rubbished the theory Hitler lived and died in Nossa Senhora do Livramento. Candido Moreira Rodriguez, a history professor at Mato Grosso's Federal University, said, "There's nothing new in people who claim to be historians coming up with the most far-reaching theories about Hitler supposedly living in South America and subsequently dying in one of the countries in this region. Tens of thousands of Nazi fugitives escaped after the war, including the notorious Adolf Eichmann and Joseph Mengele. Investigators probing Hitler's demise were hampered by the lack of any physical evidence for his death. Fantasists were given added ammunition he didn't die in his Berlin bunker when 2009 DNA tests on skull fragments found near the bunker and believed to be his, turned out to belong to a woman." Gareth Morgan, "The incredible picture that proves Adolf Hitler lived to 95 with his Brazilian lover," Express, January 24, 2014. Pan's Labyrinth, Spanish, El Laberinto del Fauno, The Labyrinth of the Faun, is a 2006 Mexican-Spanish dark fantasy film written and directed by Guillermo del Toro. In fascist Spain of 1944, the reflective youthful stepdaughter of a sadistic army officer escapes into an eerie but charming fantasy world set against grim reality in Franco's Republic. The fishing boats go out across the evening water, smuggling guns and arms across the Spanish border. The wind whips up the waves so loud. The ghost moon sails among the clouds, turns the rifles into silver on the border. Al Stewart, On the Border, 1976. Colin Forbes' novel The Leader and the Damned, 1984, retraces the last 2 years of a world at war, following the story of a British wing commander who knows too much and a German secretary who knows much more. After March 13, 1943, records show a drastic change in the Führer's behavior and personality. Working from the premise that Hitler was murdered in 1943, and replaced by a lookalike, this story reinterprets the events that took place from 1943 to 1945. At the center is Martin Bormann and his plan to make use of Hitler's double in an attempt to stop anti-Nazi generals seizing power. In his 1995 book The Greatest Illusion, The Death, of Adolf Hitler, Australian historian Fred C. McKenzie summarized how Stalin was stayed in his confidence the Nazi dictator still lived. In August of 1945, Stalin personally accused the British of sheltering the fugitive Führer in their sector of Berlin. Of similar note was Hitler's double, Tat Sachin Roman, published in German in 1997 by Walter Laufenberg, an award-winning German author who wrote and published several novels. The Soviet Forensic Commission autopsy findings aimed to show that the real Adolf Hitler did in fact die in 1945, and that his corpse was burned in the Berlin Chancellery Garden. It was Hitler's double or political decoy that Stalin assumed had escaped with the help of British intelligence. To understand the consequence of this statement, we ought to focus on what is considered to be the fastest growing crime in the modern world: identity fraud. Innocent people have actually incurred criminal charges created by their imposters. Jail time has even been the fate of some. The irrational fear of the devil looking for a soul to steal is a meandering reference to identity theft. Before the U.S. Civil War, identity fraud was an often occurring problem in the American South. It has always been a question how far fanaticism or imposture could go, and to what extent credulity might be exercised. It has always been a question how much real crime may be mixed with sincere, but mistaken piety, and how far the human character is susceptible of being at once a knave and a dupe, a sincere dupe, and at the same time, an operator on the credulity of others. G. Vale, Fanaticism, 1835. In the year 2000, the Identity Theft Resource Center, in San Diego, estimated that more than 700,000 Americans had their personal information used illegally. In one dodgy case of identity theft, the criminal, a convicted felon, not only incurred more than $100,000 of credit card debt, obtained a federal home loan, and bought homes, motorcycles, and handguns in the victim's name, but called his victim to taunt him, saying that he could continue to pose as the victim for as long as he wanted because identity theft was not a federal crime at that time, before filing for bankruptcy, also in the victim's name. After the September 11th terrorist attacks in America, authorities were not sure they had the real names of some of the airplane hijackers. It was established that September 11th was a case of multiple identity fraud. One of the men named as a terrorist reportedly telephoned U.S. officials from Arabia to protest that he was not killed in a hijacked airplane, but that his identity had been stolen by the terrorists. In 2002, the U.S. Attorney General ordered federal prosecutors nationwide to speed up investigations and trials of people accused of stealing identities. The rapidly growing crime of identity theft was a key catalyst behind the funding of terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda, a Washington law enforcement official said in 2002. Terrorists use stolen credit cards, passports, and social security numbers to pay for their operations and create false identities to hide behind, Dennis Lormel, chief of the FBI's Financial Crimes Unit, told a Senate subcommittee. David Ho, Associated Press, July 10, 2002. Recognizing the serious nature of identity fraud and the long-term ramifications to its victims, the Identity Theft and Assumption Deterrence Act of 1998 criminalized fraud in connection with the unlawful theft and misuse of personal identifying information, regardless of whether it appears in or is used in documents. In 1952, Dwight D. Eisenhower reportedly said, "We have been unable to unearth one bit of tangible evidence of Hitler's death. Many people believe that Hitler escaped from Berlin." New questions were being asked that various British intelligence envoys wanted to write off. Were Hitler's doubles automatically guilty of at least accessory to murder, even if no evidence was presented? Could a political decoy be held accountable because his presence as a double at a site of a mass murder was enough to implicate him in the murders that were carried out there? The picture of Dorian Gray, 1890, is the only published novel by Oscar Wilde. The story tells of a young man named Dorian Gray, the subject of a painting by artist Basil Hallward. Realizing that one day his beauty will fade, Dorian, whimsically, expresses a desire to sell his soul to ensure the portrait Basil has painted would age rather than he. Dorian's wish is fulfilled, and when he subsequently pursues a life of debauchery, the portrait serves as a reminder of the effect each act has upon his soul, with each sin displayed as a disfigurement of his form, or through a sign of aging. Dorian realizes his wish has come true. The portrait now bears a subtle sneer and will age with each sin he commits, while his own appearance remains unchanged. Dorian Gray will not age for 18 years. Rejuvenation, How Stinnage Makes People Young, by George F. Corners appeared in 1923. The book, with an introduction by A.S. Blumgarten, was about the research of Viennese-born Dr. Eugene Stinnage, who was famed for his theories of human rejuvenation through gland surgery. The book attracted the interest of Sigmund Freud. George F. Corners was the pen name of George Sylvester Viereck, who would be branded as the soul of Hitler propaganda. In 1900, Dr. Eugene Stinnage discovered that hormones were the mainsprings of life. Viereck's book on Dr. Stinnage pointed out the eugenics interests of the Nazi Party. Medical experiments such as vasectomies and organ transplants on concentration camp prisoners were part of a Nazi quest to increase human longevity. Viereck was by profession connected with Aleister Crowley, see pages 190-4. Jefferson Medical College performed the first donor artificial insemination in the 1800s, on the wife of a Quaker. When the firstborn of the Illuminati came to power, he called for science to extend the human lifespan by 15 years. The upper limit on the number of times cells can divide, Hayflick limit, does not go over 120 years in the oldest known human. But Eugene Stinnage's theories sparked world interest in hormones as a kind of fountain of youth principle to revitalize older men. Brave New World by Aldous Huxley was published in 1932. The novel is set in London. Of AD 2540, and foretells developments in reproductive technology, sleep learning, psychological manipulation, and classical conditioning that combine to profoundly change society. It is a dystopian, anti-utopian, world in which a totalitarian government controls society by the use of science and technology. It can produce thousands of virtually identical human embryos. Sleep teaching modes are used to train children the morals of the world state, where no one has visible signs of aging. The state makes successful efforts to remove strong emotions, desires, and human relationships from society. Huxley's novel seems, in many ways, to propagize the major themes and struggles that dominated life and debate in the second half of the 20th century, and continue to dominate it in the 21st. Through its exploration of the pitfalls of linking science, technology, and politics, and its argument that such a link will likely reduce human individuality, Brave New World deals with similar themes as George Orwell's famous novel 1984. Spark Notes. In October 1930, Aldous Huxley dined with the drug fiend occultist Aleister Crowley in Berlin. The Doors of Perception, 1954, is a short book by Aldous Huxley detailing his mind-expanding experiences when taking mescaline. In November 1921, Dr. Harry Benjamin, a New York endocrinologist, returned from Vienna, where he had investigated the work of Dr. Eugene Stinnage, director of the Biological Institute of the Academy of Sciences in that city, and was authorized by Dr. Stinnage to report his findings to the medical profession in the United States. The report was said to be the first authentic communication on Stinnage's discovery to be placed before the medical fraternity in the United States by an American who studied under Dr. Stinnage. Dr. Stinnage received 6 nominations for the Nobel Prize in Physiology. He developed the Stinnage operation, or Stinnage vasoligature, the goals of which were to reduce fatigue and the consequences of aging and to increase overall vigor and sexual potency in men. It consisted of a half, unilateral, vasectomy, which Stinnage theorized would shift the balance from sperm production toward increased hormone production in the affected testicle. By the Stinnage method, the patient does not receive the gland secretion of a monkey or any foreign substance, but his own glandular activity is revived and strengthened. Stinnage used X-rays on women, did testicular transplants, and conducted experiments in testes secretion, now known as testosterone. Clinical cases which Dr. Benjamin said had come under his personal observation showed that senility and premature senility had been influenced by the operation. He told of cases where men whose memory was beginning to fail had found their memory restored, their sight strengthened and had gained weight as well as physical and mental vitality after the operation. The growth of pigmented hair was another effect of the operation, he said. Dr. Benjamin was of the opinion that the Stinich discovery was one of the most scientifically founded, as well as one of the most promising applications of endocrinological principles. By proper application, he felt the discovery would be of great benefit to the individual as well as to society. Dr. Harry Benjamin reports successful treatments under Eugene Stinich's method, The New York Times, November 20, 1921. Hitler, Ascent, 2016, by Volker Ulrich is a meticulous study of Hitler's personality in his childhood and his experiences as a young man in Vienna. Look Who's Back, directed by David Unend, is a 2015 comedy film that sees Adolf Hitler return to the streets of Berlin, based on the 2012 German satirical novel by Timur Vermes.